Well, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the weekend. But I think maybe this year our relationship with Thanksgiving, if we were on Facebook, would come under "It's complicated." I've said before that I like the way that Canada and the UK celebrate this, which is essentially a harvest Thanksgiving, a reminder of the cycle of the year, bringing us back to something that we can tend to become disconnected from, the life and growth of the earth. I also like that this is a festival about gratitude. As we are, I was reminded this morning by one of our parishioners, a very privileged people. Of course, that idea of privilege could be taken different ways. There's a simple message of recognizing how privileged we are to live, where we do, and have what we have. And then there's a more negative connotation of recognizing that much of what we have comes from accidents of birth or background, and there are many others who, due to the lack of equity in our world, do not have anything like the comforts or luxuries that we have. We live in a complicated world. And it's important to acknowledge that and to speak the truth of the reality that we share. Indeed, speaking truth is all the more important in a world which seems at the moment to thrive on falsehood, particularly from those who hold the highest offices, those who want to consolidate their own power and privilege at the expense of others, who hoard wealth, who prefer to lie, obfuscate, and divide people to keep their own position secure, who, continuing this morning's theme, choose to tell a certain story, even if it is a false narrative, in order to reap the benefits of division and distraction. In such a world, we may well ask, how do we celebrate Thanksgiving? Well, it's partly truth-telling, calling out those things which are not healthy or helpful, like the narrative of tonight's reading from Deuteronomy. It's rooted in what is considered by many scholars and historians to be a mythic fabrication, an origin story that probably didn't happen, the entry of the 12 tribes into Israel. Archaeological and documentary evidence seems to point to the tribes being there already in what we call Israel-Palestine when these stories were constructed. The danger with the taking the land story is that it has been co-opted by later interpreters to talk of God blessing those who wish to colonize and to disenfranchise others, in the same way that many claim the name of God to do great harm to others, or form crusades, or go to war in the name of Christ. What we can get, perhaps, from our first reading is the encouragement to point beyond ourselves and to create ritual, just as the detailed instructions in that reading give. There's a recognition here that we are creatures of habit, of seasons, of cycles, and that building rituals means building meaning into our lives. These rituals can be spiritual, they can be physical, they can help meet our deep need for connection with ourselves and with others. That's part of the meaning within these Thanksgiving celebrations, creating rituals for ourselves and carrying on rituals passed on to us and connecting with loved ones. And in these difficult times, centering and connecting is all the more important. And we see that in our reading from 2 Corinthians. Paul understood the cycles of growth and life, the seasons of the year, the planting and the harvest, in a way that few of us in our pop off to the shops to get what we want really understand. It means he understood seed time and harvest, sowing generously, bringing about a better harvest. But here I don't believe that Paul is just talking about money. Though, as I've said before, lots of preachers use that line about God loving a cheerful giver to try and add a bit more to the collection plate. Paul is essentially tackling our attitude of heart and mind and encouraging us to be grounded in generosity and giving, giving respect, affection, assistance, compassion, thanks, and love. All those things we are called to give one another as we seek to be Christ community. Paul is addressing an attitude of heart that overflows into action, not just trying to get them to give more money to the church, but to encourage a transformation from which may come a new approach, a new attitude. He doesn't want them to give more, but to give thoughtfully, gratefully, and prodigally. This is our calling in these hard times, to consider how we live into and live out gratitude, to be rooted and grounded in the truth of who we are, to celebrate that truth in a way which is transformative for ourselves and for the world, to connect with ourselves and with one another, not just to be grateful, but to do grateful, to be people of love and grace and gratitude and heart and mind and action. Even in these tough times, may we each know that we are loved. May you know yourself and who you are. And may we be resiliently compassionate in a world that seems to want to cut us off from one another. Happy Thanksgiving.